grow, and Lord, that we would take the light and the hope of Christ Jesus to the lost and dying among us. God, we praise you for all that you've done in our lives, all you're doing in our church and in our community. And God, we want to take that wonderful hope and that blessed message to those who are without hope among us. We love you, especially as we think about the wonder of this time of year, as people get caught up in the hustle and bustle of the Christmas season. Lord, we ask you to help us to remind folks what you did for us, that you sent your son here, that he thought it not robbery to become equal with men, that he took upon himself death and dying in sin, that he died on that cross, he was buried, and on the third day he rose again, victorious over death and sin, just as we sang about in this song a moment ago. What a wonderful name it is. What a powerful name it is, that name of Jesus. God, we love you and we love each other because you first loved us. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Well, you may be seated, and the children are dismissed to Children's Church.
Amen. Good morning. Are you glad to be here today? Amen. Amen. Well, let's turn in our Bibles to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17 this morning. Well, the building is moving along, so you know we're getting there. We are, I think drop ceiling is basically done, and so all the framing is in for that. The air conditioning should be all connected within this next week, and you know all the electrical overhead will be done. Everything should be finished. We should have lights going in this week and everything. So we're really close here. We're really close, and I think they start the floors next week, and that'll be a couple week process. Then trim out. And so, I mean, really, by June, we should be in it. Amen? So we're not going to put a date on it just yet. When we get really close, we'll give you a heads up. But we're excited about it, excited about what the Lord's doing. But today, I want to look at this passage in Exodus chapter 17. I'm going to preach this title. I just named it Touch Heaven. This week, I was talking with some of the staff, and Brother Sean in particular had come to my office at one point, and you know, funny enough, you know, it's kind of like we all work together, but we don't get to speak with one another very much. And we were talking about just how it seems like everyone we meet is so exhausted today and tired and weary. And he was telling me, Pastor, I'm going to be honest with you. He goes, man, I've thought about how the grass might be greener on the other side, because I'm just tired. I feel like sometimes I'm not making a difference, and I'm weary, and I'm, you know, and all this and that. And I go, well, it might be the four kids you adopted, by the way. It may be that we're putting in ridiculous hours. It may be, you know, and we started talking about it, but I could just kind of feel his pain. I'm like, I get it, right? We're physically exhausted. And right as he was talking, I started thinking about Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, that says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, all you that labor and are heavy laden, come to me, and he says, I'll give you rest. And he gives this invite to go to him. He says, if you go to me, I'll give you rest. And I start writing a sermon right there, and I'm typing away, and I get through a little introduction and into point one. And as I'm kind of subtopicking point one, I was thinking about the passage right here, where here's Moses lifting up, right? He's lifting up Israel. And every time his hands are lifted, they're winning the battle, right? And he gets to a point he can't even lift his arms anymore. And so here comes Aaron and Hur come along, and they lift his arms. And then it takes me away from Matthew 11, and I start writing a whole sermon on Exodus chapter 17. And this stuff's coming so fast at me. Like, I got to tell you, as a preacher, it's bittersweet, because, like, you felt like you had something going, and the Lord gives you something new, and you're going, okay, well, Matthew 11 will be for another day, and then it happens again. So I'm going through, and I'm typing away, and I'm thinking about this, and I'm just like, man, I need my arms lifted up. I need some people to help me lift my arms, because I want to praise God, and I want him to have all of me, and I want to see mountains moved, and I can't seem to bear the strength even. Can you imagine being so exhausted that you have to be set on a rock and somebody has to be there to hold your arms up? I'm going to take you to four different passages today. because this took me further, and I'm not going to just talk about being weary today or tired today. That's going to be part of it. But how this sermon kind of evolved was into this idea that, can I say this to you? We need one another. And we need prayer. And as I got talking to Sean about it, and I can see this in our ministry, and I'm like, you know, let me tell you what the real problem is this. It's not that we have too many kids. It's not that the kids are so different. It's that we're not looking to the right person. We're the problem. He's not. We've asked for what we've gotten. The problem's on me. The problem's on you. The problem is that when we get to that place, it's because we're trying to do too much in our own strength. And we've got our eyes on something else instead of the prize. And so I started thinking, man, you know what we need to get back to is touching heaven for one another. And then they sing this song, and I'm thinking, wow, what a coincidence, right? Heaven came down. You know, I want to tell you, I want heaven to come down today. You know, I want to see something happen. So that's kind of where this stemmed. Let's look at Exodus 17. Go to verse 8. And like I told you, I'm going to take you about four different passages, four different kinds of perspective of where we can touch heaven and where we ought to be touching heaven for maybe ourselves and others. But verse 8, it says this. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. And let me say this to you. That's an important verse to catch in this whole passage because of this. Here's a man who just says this. I'm going to stand in the gap for you. And sometimes we need some people to stand on our behalf. Last week I said at the end of the service, I said, I want you to go grab someone today and pray with them. Three people moved. I walked out of this hallway, and I don't say this disrespectful, but I walked out of the hallway and I told Deanna before we just creased through that door, I said this. I said, I don't think our people get it yet. I don't think we get that we need one another. There are people broken here. There are people in pain here. There are people here that need lifted up. And it is not some counselor in the world, the secular world, to give us the advice. It's our people need to lift one another up. We need to be the church. It's Christ that we need, but we need to be the hands and feet of Christ. And here's a man that goes, here's the deal. We're going to go to battle, and I'm going to stand. I'm going to do what it takes to fight. Go to verse 10. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and he fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. So whenever he was in that pose of worship, whenever he was in that place of lifting his hands up, they're winning this battle. But whenever his hands come down, they're losing the battle. There's something spiritually there, right? That says, but Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat there. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So what a great image. He goes, look, if my hands are up, we're prevailing, but I can't hold my hands up anymore. And so the church comes running along, right? A couple of his brothers come along, and they go, all right, sit on the stone, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to kind of be the pedestal for you. Who are you pedestaling for? I don't know if that's really a word, but it sounded right. But whose arms are you holding up? Think about that. He goes through, he says in verse 13, he says, and Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Today we're going to talk about touching heaven. Let's pray. So Father, today you have all freedom in this place. And I pray for salvation today. As we know that, Lord, you touched heaven for us. And Lord, I pray that you would just speak to the hearts of people today who are maybe hardened and bitter towards you. Maybe people who have come against you. Maybe people here who just don't believe. Maybe people here who have never had a relationship. Maybe people who have been disgruntled at a church or offended by a pastor or whatever it might be. That today they could see the position you put your son in so we could have eternal life. And for our congregation, Lord, I know that all of us face different things, and today's not a message just about burdens. It's not a message about maybe even any more than just prayer and us touching heaven for someone else in different ways that you show that in Scripture. So convict our hearts today to touch heaven on behalf of someone else. Help us to lift one another's arms up, Lord, as we're tired, we're weary. Give us strength today. Let us know that you're the resource. You're the source of strength. So, Lord, you speak to our hearts. Let us be open to your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the illustration books I have, there was a story when I searched prayer about a Civil War time when there was an officer who complained to General Stonewall Jackson that some of the soldiers were making noise in their tent. And he said, well, what are they doing? What's all the noise? And the general asked that, and he said, well, they're praying now, but earlier they were singing. The general says, is that a crime? And he goes, well, the Articles of War orders punishment for an unusual noise. And then General Jackson said this. He said, God forbid that praying should be an unusual noise in the camp. You know, thank God for the privilege of prayer. I mean, if you think about this, to be able to go into God's presence and seek His face and help for the needs of our lives and for the blessings of somebody else's lives or beyond that, to have an open door to come to the throne of grace or to be invited to enter there to call upon Him. And He gives us this promise that He'll hear us and He'll answer us when we call upon Him right throughout Scripture. That's a wonderful thing. God forbid that praying should be an unusual sound in our lives. But how much greater is the blessing, again, to be able to enter into God's presence on the behalf of someone else? You know, to go pray for someone else in need. What a privilege to be able to intercede for someone else's life. To be able to see God at action in somebody else's life on behalf of them. It's an honor to be able to go to God and lift up the needs and the burdens and the souls of another person. And God forbid that praying for others should be an unusual sound in our lives as Christians. There's a great need this morning to touch heaven for others. And I realize that I'm, you know, here this morning because someone touched heaven for me. Right? The fact that you're here, if you're born again, is because someone touched heaven for you. Right? That is the reality of it. And I want to take this Bible passage and some others today, and I'm going to show you four places in Scripture today where, you know, people reached out and they touched heaven for someone else. And there are more places than that in Scripture, but we're going to look at just these four, and they'll illustrate the purpose for us. Let's look first at Moses. In Moses, number one, he touched heaven for the saints at Israel. This is the passage we just read. And so in this context or this passage we just read, these verses, Israel is under attack right now. They're under attack, and they needed someone to stand in the gap for them. And Moses, he answered the challenge, and he touched heaven for them that day. Because he did, victory was the result. And God's people need someone who will touch heaven for them these days. You know, when I listened to Brother Sean talk, that's exactly what I started to feel like. I started to feel like I didn't even say much. I mean, really, he probably did more of the talking. Do you believe that? True statement. And I kind of listen, and the reason I listen is because I'm listening to what he's saying, and I'm like, you know, my mind is going 100 miles a minute about this whole thing, and the conclusion was this, is that he's in a place that he needs his hands lifted up. Because, see, I'm going to tell you this, that if we get in a spot where we feel under attack like Israel did, and if we get in a spot where we feel attacked, if we feel in a spot that the grass might be greener on the other side when you're serving the King of Kings, when we get in a spot that we think taking a job down the road, not serving anymore, not being involved anymore, when we make that kind of thought, this is the thing. There's a person right there that needs some help lifting their arms up. But I can so relate to that. And here's Moses, right, in Israel, and he's touching heaven for them. But God's people need someone to touch heaven for them. There are people who need their arms lifted for them. And both the soldiers on the front lines and the people in the camp need someone who will reach up by faith and ring the prayer bells of glory so that God's people might have victory. I mean, what a comfort it is to know that people are praying for you as you go about life day by day. I read in the New Testament where the Apostle Paul was constantly asking for people to pray for him. He was asking people to pray for him while he was also praying for others. And if he needed the prayers of God's people, then how much more do we need the prayers of people? I can read about where saints are commanded to pray for one another, and we need to pray for one another. We need to get in a spot where we're praying for our pastor, where we're praying for the deacons, where we're praying for the Sunday school teachers, but by the way, where we're praying for one another. There's nothing in the world like knowing that God's people are praying. During World War II, there was a Marine who was serving in the South Pacific, and his platoon was under fire. And they were trying to signal to all the other soldiers that they had taken a certain hill. And there was a sergeant issued an order for a man. He goes, you go take that American flag. And he goes, you go raise it. You put the flag in the ground and you raise that pole so that we can signal that we have taken this ground. And sure enough, that guy grabs the flag and he begins to run and he's shot by a sniper. So the general gives a command to the next guy, the sergeant does. He says, okay, you go take the flag and go put it in the ground. He goes to running. He gets shot. The story goes on that they claim is a true story that he asks a third man, he goes, will you do it? And the man's like, no way, I'm not doing. I've seen what happened to the first two. A young private says this. He goes, give me a few minutes until 4 o'clock. He goes, at 4 o'clock, I'll run the flag up and I'll put it in the ground, stating that we've taken this ground. And the sergeant says, in a few minutes, at 4 o'clock, you'll do it? And he goes, yeah, just give me till 4 o'clock, and I'll do it. And he goes, okay, if you're willing to go, we're willing to wait. So he says, all right, son. Well, 4 o'clock, just a few minutes later, rolls around. That private jumps out of the foxhole. He runs. He puts the flag in the ground and raised it up. He then turns and runs back to the foxhole without one scratch on him. The men cheered. The sergeant asked him why he wanted to wait until 4 o'clock to do it. And the private said this. He said, well, sir, it's 4 o'clock here, but it's 6 a.m. in Kansas. He said, my mother loves Jesus, and she told me that every morning at 6 a.m., she would be on her knees praying for my safety. And I knew that I would be safe because Mama was touching heaven for me. I want to ask you something this morning, and I'm going to tell you this before I get to the end. I'm going to challenge you at invitation again today. Who are you touching heaven for? Who are you touching heaven for today? Can our prayers get selfish? Can our life get selfish? And he goes, I want you to care for someone else, and that's what Moses did, but can I tell you, there's people here that need their arms lifted today. Secondly, I want you to look at this. We're going to go back to Genesis 18, okay? So turn there if you would with me. Abraham touched heaven for the sinners in Sodom. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 20. Now, we don't always do this. I usually, you know, I probably have now just confused the whole crowd because I was supposed to go piece by piece, right? I'm going to mess you up 4 different times today. So one, we're to touch heaven for other believers. But Abraham touched heaven for the sinners in Sodom. Genesis chapter 18, verse 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went to towards Sodom, and but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Notice something about each story. Someone made a stand on behalf of all the people. Someone has to stand the gap. Can I say this to you? I could specifically name needs in our church. And I'll bet you in this room today I could name 50 easily. Someone needs to stand the gap for the people in our church who are hurting. Someone needs to stand in the gap for people who are far gone. But continue to look at what happens here. It says, Abraham stood yet before the Lord, verse 23, and Abraham drew near and said, will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? He says, peradventure there be 50 righteous in this city. Will thou then also destroy and not spare the place of the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, he says, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I'll spare all the place for their sakes. Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken up upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Will thou destroy all the city for the lack of 5? Then he said, well, if I find there 40 and 5, I'll not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there, and yet say, I will not do it for the 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall be 30 be found. I mean, notice this number keeps dropping. He said, there just be 30. He said, well, I'll not do it if I find 30 there. Verse 31, and he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I'll not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left, communing with Abraham, and returned unto his place. Abraham touched heaven for sinners. See, in this context, this passage, Abraham prayed for the sinners in Sodom. He touched heaven on their behalf, and he only needed 10 souls, and Sodom would have been spared. And you think about that for a minute. There was Lot, there was Mrs. Lot, 2 unmarried daughters, right, at home, and at least 2 married daughters and their husbands. That makes 8. Right? So all Lot had to do was win 2 more in Sodom, and the city would have been spared. Now let me say this to you. What a tragedy that his witness was so poor that all but 3 perished. Right? Think about this. Lost people need someone who knows the Lord praying for them. I got thinking about this as I'm talking to Sean. I'm like, man, I could make this a burdens message. I could make this a tired and weary message. I could do all these things, but really what all of us need that are tired, we need someone to touch heaven for us. We need to get our eyes on the right people, right? But let me ask you this. What about lost people? Lost people need us to touch heaven for them. You know, you may wonder today if your prayers matter when it comes to the matter of someone else's salvation. I even heard this last week from someone in our church. They go, you know, I've prayed and prayed and prayed, but they just refuse to come to the Lord. My husband just refuses to get it right. My husband refuses to do it. I just feel like it's a lost cause and no one's hearing my prayers. I went to the wrestling tournament on Friday. I was talking to one of the coaches I know. Not locally, and we had like a 2-hour conversation sitting in a chair before the tournament started, and he said this to me. He goes, I was raised Catholic. He goes, give me the preacher's view of this. He goes, I was raised Catholic, but he goes, my new wife now, he goes, I was married 23 years. He goes, my wife walked in and just said, I don't want to be married to you anymore. She divorced me. I said, let's go to counseling. He said, I don't want counseling. She divorced me. He said, but then I meet this other woman. He goes, I got to tell you, my faith is wavering right now. And I go, why? He goes, because she doesn't want to believe in God anymore. She was raised in a Lutheran church, took her kids to church. Her husband died when her boys were 2 and 6 of brain cancer. And she says, how would a God and why would a God ever do that? And he goes, she's lost all of her faith to the point that she doesn't believe her God. Now her boys are both atheists. He goes, but I'm losing my faith because I can see her side of it. And all I can think of when I'm talking to them is I'm sitting with a man on his way to hell. The next morning, he introduces me to his wife. I had to say it. I had to say that God is still good and God is still faithful and things don't change just because God chooses to give and take away because he's God. And we had to go through this whole thing. But I got to tell you, I begged God that night and I begged God that day that God would somehow use what we're doing, somehow that he would do something in their lives to get their hearts and to get their souls. By the end of Saturday night, no kidding, he said this. He said, "What time do your church services start?" He said, "Me and my wife talked last night," and he said this, I mean this, and this is no credit to anything I'm doing. I'm telling you this. He said this. He goes, "I believe you're the right person to talk to my wife. She needs to hear it from someone's perspective that's just real and to the point about it. She's been to pastors and priests and done all this and went to some type of witch doctors or something. She's been everywhere to try to get the answer." And I'm like, man, but can I tell you something? People like that need one of us to touch heaven for them. Can you think of somebody lost today? When's the last time you reached out to Jesus for them? When's the last time you touched heaven for them? See, lots of people and lost people, they need to know that someone who knows the Lord is praying for them. You may wonder if your prayers matter when it comes to the matter of someone else's salvation. Well, I got to tell you that they do. You see, your prayers touch the heart of God, and he, in turn, touches the hearts of men. Oswald Chambers said, "It's possible to move men to God by prayers alone." Sidlow Baxter, he said this. He said, men may spurn our appeals, reject our message, oppose our argument, but they are helpless against our prayers. How true that is. I mean, they may curse you. They may slam the door in your face. They may turn a deaf ear to your witness, but they cannot oppose your prayers as they ascend to your Father's house. God, help us really to carry out the great burden for lost people. Somebody in this room today need to make this commitment that as long as you're alive, as long as your lungs are still breathing breath, that you're going to pray for that person. Who are those lost ones that you carry in your heart today? I want to tell you not to give up on them. There was a certain Scottish man who had lived a very worldly life. He was going over the records left by his father, who was a wealthy man who had just passed away. And he noticed that his father had given large sums of money to an orphanage operated by George Mueller. He decided that his father might want him to continue to give to that work, so he decided to pay them a visit one day, the orphanage that George Mueller ran. It just so happened that when he got there, there was a revival meeting going on for the boys and girls in the home, and he sat there and listened to the sermon, and he was convicted of his sins, and that day he gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the coolest part of the story is this. When he stood to give the testimony of his conversion, the workers in the home were not surprised. And George Mueller stood and said this, "It doesn't shock me today that you've given your life to Jesus." He said, "38 years ago, your dad started giving to my orphanage, but he asked this one thing, that I would pray for your soul." George Mueller said, "For 38 years straight, every day, I've prayed that you would come to know Jesus Christ." I want to tell you today, don't give up on lost people. I love this little story. Mays Jackson, he was a phenomenal preacher. And he told the preaching in a certain meeting, and he was using this verse, Matthew 18:19. The verse says, "Again, I say unto you that if two or of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." And he preaches telling this story of this text that he said that after the service, there was a little boy that had met him at the door, and he asked him if he really believed that verse. "Do you really believe where two or more, where these two come together and agree on something, that do you really believe the verse?" And the preacher said, "Man, Brother Mays," he said, "I sure do. I believe that verse with all my heart." He said, "Well," the little boy goes, "well, I'll tell you what." He goes, "My dad, he abandoned me when I was young. He says, my mom has went to a life of, of drinking and this kind of thing." He said, "Here's the thing." He goes, "Ever since my dad's left, I wanted my dad to be saved." He says, "So preacher, this is what I want you to do. I want you to pray starting now because I want to claim that verse that my father will be saved." And the preacher goes, amen, I'll do it. I'm with you. I'll pray. But then the little boy said this, by Friday night. The preacher was ashamed to admit this, but he said, I have my doubts. He said, I'll agree to agree with you to pray and to believe that your daddy will be saved. But boy, he was terrified. They're in this revival this week, and he preaches Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, and maybe you think you know the ending to this one. But every time the preacher would preach, Mays Jackson would say this to be a true story, that the little boy would sit in the crowd and go, Matthew 18, 19, preacher. Matthew 18, 19. And Friday came, and this man walks in the back, and he goes, that's my daddy. That guy walked in, grabbed his son, went to the front, gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, don't ever give up. I want to tell you that I'm glad this morning that I had an aunt and parents and a brother who refused to give up on me. I'm so glad that they prayed and they touched heaven for me. Can you think of anybody lost that you touched heaven for, or have you already given up? Thirdly, and I'm not going to have you turn to this passage, but Hezekiah touched heaven for the sufferers in Jerusalem. This passage is in 2 Kings chapter 19, and I'm going to spare you from reading it, but it's verses 14 through 37. And the context of these verses is that Jerusalem is threatened by the king of Assyria. And if he's allowed to attack them, the people of Jerusalem will suffer untold trials and brutality. And however, King Hezekiah turns to the Lord God in prayer, and he prevails. And the Lord hears him, answers him, and moves in power. And the angel of the Lord slays 185,000 Assyrian soldiers in one night. And by the way, the king of Assyria is assassinated by his own sons. God spared the people of Jerusalem because one man touched heaven for them. I want to remind you of something this morning, that some of God's people are walking through deep valleys. And this is a spot I want to hit heavy for a minute. I mean, yesterday I'm at this tournament and a phone call comes in. And I didn't answer the phone because the phone wasn't ringing in this gym. It wasn't the internet and whatever else. We were having no reception out there. But I get outside and it pops up and I see this voicemail and I go, man, this is a family member of our church that is in a place. And their exact phone in the part of their phone conversation was this: Pastor, we're desperate. This morning I wake up to a text message. I won't be there today. There's been a great attack in my family right now. Everywhere you go, there are people in deep valleys, and some have burdens and are carrying loads that the rest of us can't even imagine. And they need someone who will stand up for them in the day of their battle and go to God on their behalf. They need someone who will pay the price in prayer for them and help them shoulder their burden. They need someone who will touch heaven for them. I want to tell you, we need to be in the business of touching heaven for our brothers and sisters who are fighting battles of life. You know, I think about the verse in Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. See, never are we more like Jesus than when we are loving others and standing in the gap for them. And we all know someone who's struggling this morning. I'm going to ask you, who will you pray for this morning? Who will you touch heaven for? But lastly, I want you to turn to this passage, okay? And we're going to finish with this. Jesus touched heaven for the souls in sin. Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. We're going to look at a passage here in Luke 23 where our Savior's been brought to Calvary. He's been nailed to the cross to atone for the sins of all humanity. And He submitted to the cruel torture of His tormentors without opening His mouth one time. And the first thing that He speaks from the cross is not to condemn anybody, but it's to touch heaven for those who crucified Him. And He says in Luke chapter 23, verse 34, He says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You know, I think this is perhaps the greatest prayer ever prayed. Imagine for a moment what's going on in heaven. Imagine a father watching his son die for lost sinners. Imagine the holy angels waiting for the word from their Creator to go and rescue their Lord. The legions, the Bible says, could have came. And imagine this picture. And instead we have the Lamb of God who's giving His life for the lost, lifting His voice to pray for forgiveness of His tormentors. What grace, what love that Jesus would touch heaven for those who hated Him, who reviled Him, who crucified Him. Thank God when Jesus hung on that cross that day that He touched heaven for us. He finished the task that the Father had sent Him to accomplish. He reached up to heaven to satisfy the just demands of God for sin. He then reached down to love a lost and dying world to offer salvation for everyone. Man, I got to tell you today, I'm grateful that there was a day that the Holy Ghost made it clear to my soul that Jesus touched heaven for me. I'm going to do something this invitation. And Miss Susan, I'm not going to have you go to the piano today. Because maybe you need this. I want you to think about the 4 points. I probably didn't excite you much today. Wednesday night, I was making all kinds of faces and doing the suit. Remember? I mean, we were going crazy. It was good stuff in there Wednesday night. But this conversation all started, right? And us men, boy, we don't like to show our weakness. And I could feel it, though. I could see. And I think the few words I might have said back to Sean, I have to tell you that I think he could feel my pain, too. Well, what's going on with you, preacher? Well, I don't know. I mean, besides the everyday stuff, right? There's a lot going on. Boy, our life has been in transition. I mean, our kids get married. We have grandkids. Her health isn't good. The little one thinks he's got it all figured out. My daughter knows everything. My people are hurting. My staff want to quit. They want to throw their hands up because the kids are too difficult or they're not looking to the right resource. The church is in pain. Parents are crying for grandkids and kids who are lost and on their way to hell. Families going through health issues. People that are broke and they have more month than they do money. People in our church facing things where their kids are ill and with a terminal disease. I mean, people that are broken in this place. People that know, every one of us know lost people. And I just wonder, have we given up? And so I'm going to say this again today. And you boys need to get something ready back there. You better let the Holy Spirit lead you. It better be the right song. I found out people won't move without the right music. Today, I'm going to ask you again to do something. I'm going to ask you to get over yourself. I'm going to ask you to get over your pride. I'm going to ask you to take the weights off today. And I want you to bear somebody's burden. I want you to touch heaven for somebody today. And I'm not asking you to fill this altar. I'm not asking for a big show. We're not here for a show. I want you to pray for lost people today, and I want you to be specific with God of people that just need to be touched, that people that just need a touch from heaven. I want you to pray for them. I want you to go pray for somebody who's in need today. I think that, you know, Brother Patrick said something in Sunday school. He said, you know, when you coach sports, how often do you practice? I'm like, well, I wish it worked that you could practice once a week and still win all your games. It doesn't work that way. Well, how often do you practice? Well, right now, wrestling, 5 days a week. And if the guy that's helping me gets a little itch, he thinks we need to show up on Saturday morning too, by the way. And I don't like him for that. Right? And then he just loves it and he wants the kids to get better. How often do you have to practice every day? What do you do for football? Well, we get the other team's film. Is that cheating? No. By the way, Brother Patrick, we mutually swap film. Is there some cheating? If you can read film real well, it sure is. But he said this in class. He said this. He goes, you know what needs to happen when we're game planning for what Satan's throwing at us? You know how to game plan? Get back to the basics. How more basic than prayer? How more basic than just lifting people up? Today, I'm going to challenge you to that. I'm serious. From every person's room, from young to old, to lift somebody up today. And if you so feel led to go to them, then you do that. And we're going to have invitation as long as it takes. That's why I preach fast. Don't worry, you'll still beat the Pentecostals to lunch. They're on their fourth song of worship. And they got two more to go before the preacher preaches. Whatever they play is going to be our invitation today. Miss Susan's getting a break to just be lifted up. But I want you to bear somebody's burden today. I want you to lift up the souls of lost people today. I want you to be obedient to whatever the Holy Spirit put on your heart during that time. That's how our service is going to end today, okay? We're going to get back to the basics. We're going to have church right here, right now. All right, Malik, are you ready? Let's go.